The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." And Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All of these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself before me and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. These readings deserve much more attention than is given to us in the time allotted for our reflection. I mean, go back and look at the book of Genesis and find out, what does it really mean? They looked at themselves and they realized they were naked. Was that something good? Or was it part of divine revelation? A very interesting discussion sometime. I'm going to concentrate on the gospel reading and try to focus on, in a very disciplined way, some deep teaching gift to us for the season of Lent. One or two exegetical remarks about it. It appears in all three synoptic gospels, even though the gospel of Mark, the very beginning, the first chapter of Mark, does mention it very passingly. It doesn't go through the temptations. But Matthew is very specific about these temptations. It's in chapter 4 also of Luke. Interesting, Matthew said the angels came and ministered to him. There's only one other place where the angel comes to Jesus. It's in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke and the agony in the garden. And only Luke mentions this, that after he goes through the trauma of his agony, an angel came to strengthen him. It's kind of interesting to look at how the New Testament deals with the presence of the angels in a time of great testing. By way of exegetical remarks, also keep in mind the 40 days is not meant to be literal, even though we set up our Lent based on this 40 number. If you look back in the book of Exodus, you'll find that the people of Israel wandered for 40 years, and Moses went up onto the mountain to commune with the living God, and he spent 40 days in communion with God. And therefore, the number 40 reappears here by way of a symbolic statement that it was a length of time, and it was a time of divine revelation. So we're not taking the 40 as a specific number. Being tempted in the desert is not a good translation. A better translation is he's led by the Spirit to be tested, not to be tempted, but tested. So let's look at that, what this means to us. Go back to the book of Exodus. And the people of Israel were led from slavery in Egypt to the promised land by way of the desert. And when they are in the desert, they murmur, they complain. How could God do this to us? You'll find that in Exodus. You look up, I want you to look this up. Chapter 14 in Exodus, where they say to Moses, why did you lead us out into this deserted place, a place of deprivation, so that we will die here? We could have died in Egypt, in slavery. Now we're going to die in the desert. They murmur, they doubt, they complain. They're unfaithful, they abandon God. You'll find there, remember they made the golden calf because they got discouraged, and they walked away from God when they got discouraged. And they made this golden calf, a false god to worship, because they did not trust the living God in their journey through the desert. And yet this is the manner in which they will be led to ultimate freedom and fulfillment in the promised land. So let's look at this for a moment and see what this means to us. The desert being the place of testing, but it's also the place where the people of Israel were defined. This is where they found their identity. And this is where they experienced the true God, the God of light, the God of darkness, the God of struggle, God of grace, the God comes to us in time of sin. This, in the desert, is where they define themselves as the people of God, and they discover who God truly is in their lives. It's a place of testing, but out of the testing comes a discovery of who they really are. Now, what does this mean to us? It means when we enter into the season of Lent, I mean, we'll give up drink, or we'll give up chocolates, or we'll give up things. We might still hold a little prejudice, or we might really hold a little excluding people and judging people and things, but Lent is a time of transformation. It's a desert experience where we are led somehow in a testing to discover a deeper understanding of who we are, a deeper appreciation of God's presence in our lives, a certain desert experience. And therefore, the first thing about the desert is it's not a place. The desert is an experience. And it's our experience of Lent. Every one of us has a desert. Wow. Is it your desert of loneliness? You feel abandoned? A desert where you look at God and say, God isn't fair. I don't deserve what's happening to me. I am in a desert where God is distant. It's a desert that some people find themselves in when they're in second marriages and they don't feel welcome. It's a desert where people are excluded from the church or from the community or from the country because somehow we held judgment over people. It's a desert of selfishness. It may be a desert of addiction. We're addicted to something. It may be a desert where somehow we feel left out, abandoned. A desert of ingratitude, where people are ungrateful to us, where we hold resentment. A desert of anger. We are tested in the desert of experience. And somehow, no matter what we give up for Lent, The call of the Spirit is to enter into a desert experience. You don't have to look for it. It's already present in our lives. How do I know? Because I have visited and lived in a variety of deserts over my life. I have lived in a desert of anger, a desert of being overlooked, a desert of loneliness, a desert where you struggle to forgive people. We all have gone through this. This is real life. And we have to somehow find a way to bring Lent as an experience of desert into real life. Because in the real life of the desert, we discover who we truly are. Without going deeper into an understanding of the Spirit calling us and life testing us, Lent, superficial exercise, we'll go through this and we'll emerge 40 days later with the same superficial following of Jesus Christ and not facing a deeper reality within ourselves. So in order for us to understand who we are, we have to find ourselves naked and say we discover that we're human. We're broken people. And the desert is an experience. And until we touch that, until we look deeper inside of ourselves and find out where we murmur, where we're complaining, we want to walk away from God. We want to walk away from the church because we found out we were all naked. We were broken. We were human. We have sinned. That's the desert. It's the desert of Lent. Call of the Spirit to each and every one of us, to me and to you, is to look deeper, to claim some space where you have silence, some place where you will get away from all the distractions and the anxieties of the world and look deeper inside yourself and find out who you really are. Not who people think you are. Not your reputation. Not your social importance. Not your politics. Not your public religion. But something deeper inside ourselves. This is the true person deep inside. This is the person we have to rediscover in the season of Lent. The way to the promised land is through the desert. The way to grace and a full experience of the true God, you must go through complaining, murmuring, questioning, wondering if the God is true, wondering if God is good in my life, and find myself somehow being tested. In this gospel reading which we have, it's a test between good and evil. It's a triumph of good over evil. For those of you familiar with Dante's Inferno, remember, when he's coming out of the inferno, he is confronted by three animals who stop him in his journey toward full life. He's caught in the inferno. The spotted leopard, deceitful, representing deceit, fraud, untruth. The lion, the fierce, powerful lion, the controlling lion. And the she-wolf, representing avarice or greed or having the last word or getting my way. There's no doubt that Dante was not just talking about the 14th century, 15th century Florence, but he was talking about us. And he was somehow attaching himself to the temptations that are recorded here and on which we reflect today. So
here's what this gospel means to us. Go home. Find a quiet space. Look deep inside yourself. Live even for a short time in the desert. And let the power of Jesus Christ, and let the Spirit of God lift you up beyond the burdens and the dreariness, the boredom of life, up into a new place symbolized by the promised land. Amen.